It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
Do you ever blame God? Adam set the precedent. When he made a bad choice, he blamed God. Here's what he says in Genesis 3, verse 12. The woman whom you, God, gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. In other words, God, you're responsible for this mess. Blaming God indicates a fragmented life. It attempts to excuse my responsibility for my bad choices and my unhealthy behavior. In James 1, verse 13, James declares, "Let no one say when he or she is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." Doing evil is not in the nature of God. Neither is tempting people to do evil. He just doesn't do that. What is the real dynamic of temptation? James continues in verses 14 and 15. But each person is tempted when he or she is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. James uses words from fishing and hunting, like a fish attracted by a lure or an animal enticed to a scent. It is our own desire that draws us toward temptation. It is our own desire by which we choose to bite the bait that hides the hook. James next employs life cycle language. Desire conceives, gives birth to sin, and in turn it grows and brings forth death. My desires lead to sin, and that results in death. Let's be honest, not delusional. We are responsible for our choices. Here are four steps that James gives us so we can move from blame toward wholeness. Number one is acknowledging. First, James reveals something of the heart of God. In verses 14 to 18, we read, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." The heart of the Father is extravagantly generous in gifting everything good and perfect. He is the Father of lights, the creator of the sun, the moon, the stars. But unlike the daily variations of the sun and the monthly phases of the moon and the seasonal movement of the stars, our God does not withdraw or back off even for a moment. He is always present and generous. In contrast to temptation that brings forth sin and death, God's word of truth brings forth life, a life that is like the first plants of springtime bursting out of the deadness of winter soil. Here's a reflection for you. Take a moment to reflect on the contrast between what is birthed by temptation and what is birthed by the word of truth. Focus on what God gifts to us. Acknowledge what the Father has given and continues to give, and thank him. What do these gifts mean for you, particularly in the face of temptation? What does this say about the nature of your desires if you can be lured to sin rather than acknowledge and enjoy God's good gifts? Father, you are good, so I do not have to seek my satisfaction elsewhere. Here's the second point, and it's accepting. In verses 19 to 21, James continues by inviting us to act in cooperation with the Father's gifts. He writes, "Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." James calls us to wisdom. Be quick to hear, be slow to speak, be slow to anger. Accept God's wisdom and incorporate this wisdom, this skill for living successfully, into your daily life. Sometimes you can do it, perhaps you can develop a habit, but there will be lures and enticements leading to angry outbursts or speaking inappropriately or making choices that lead to thinking or acting, as James puts it, in filthiness or wickedness. Trying to incorporate this wisdom into life is not enough. Our efforts and resources are inadequate. What do we need, and what does our Father supply? James calls on his brothers and sisters to humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Chapter 1, verse 21. What is this word? Some would default and suggest that it is the Bible, and in a way that's correct, but I would suggest it's insufficient. The 20th century Swiss theologian Karl Barth, and it's spelled B-A-R-T-H, concluded the Word of God is first and foremost the revelation of God as Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and his name is Jesus. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 2, God has spoken to us as Son. Barth also taught that the Bible and the authentic proclamation or preaching of the Word are inseparable from and interrelated with this revelation of God as Jesus Christ. So what is James calling us to do? James is calling us to accept and embrace the life of Jesus Christ that God has planted in our lives as Christians. Using the metaphor of a plant, he is leading us to recognize and to allow that the living Word, like a seed, will grow and become fruitful in us. It is not my life that is being reproduced. It is the life of the Word, Jesus Christ, that is being enfleshed and reproduced in and through me. Here's another reflection. Is this a new perception for you? Understanding that the seed implanted in you is the very life of Jesus Christ. Does this make a difference for you in dealing with temptation and living for God? And here's our third point, acknowledging, accepting, and thirdly, doing. In verses 22 to 25, James urges us to be doers of the word, not just hearers. Here's what he writes. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. In our modern culture, we make a great virtue of accumulating knowledge for knowledge's sake, knowledge without the need to live out or apply that knowledge. James condemns listening only. He insists that we must do what we hear. We are called to cooperate actively with God in what he is doing in our lives. We are not to listen and then wait passively. God is already working, and he calls you and me to act on what we already know. And here's a third reflection. As you read Scripture and you grow in the life of Jesus Christ and what he commands you, what are you being instructed to do in your life and with your life? How do you move from hearing passively to doing actively? And here's our fourth point, living. What does it look like when we become doers of the word? James 1, verses 26 to 27 puts it in these words. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Being a doer of the word means we will be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, because that reflects the life of Jesus. It means we will engage at a personal level with those who are oppressed, troubled, poor, sick, disenfranchised, because that manifests the life of Jesus. It means we will refuse to be conformed to the way people think and behave in our culture when those ways are contradictory to the life of Jesus. And here's our concluding reflection. What does embracing and living out the life of Jesus Christ look like for you? Think of one thing that you have heard from the perfect law that can touch and bless the life of another person. Now go and do it in the name of Jesus. Rather than blame God for your own choices, acknowledge and accept what He has generously given you and live toward wholeness.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.